Good morning. I'm at like a good writer here. I've been through Rain and had like the full English experience. I think this is what you call full English. Anyway, so my name is, as Remy mentioned, Robin Mina from Berlin. I'm Armina from the internet. So if you want to make my pocket wipe great, it doesn't work, I had DD on. You might know me from Berlin.js or VJ.js, JS, which is a conference that I used to run. And some people even might know me from flying robots with a helicopter. So I'm kind of event-driven, even though that's not the reason why I'm on stage today. As Remy mentioned, I was working at EOS Africa together with Remy and gave like this quick internal, I wouldn't call it a talk, it was actually more of a rant. And he was like, dude, I like that. Please come to my conference and like, give this talk in like a very German, very dry, very grumpy way. So if you hate it, blame Remy. If you love it, praise Remy. Please praise me, he's amazing. So I think we like this talk. So let's start. JavaScript that doesn't have features. For people who know me, this is not about Angular. So it actually happens a lot, building apps, fighting Ebola in Africa, so there's that. I still don't like it, but there's that. So let me ask you a question. Who of you really likes JavaScript? Who of you love JavaScript? Well, still calm. Just kidding. I saw a lot of it too. A few weeks ago, I was at a conference, and there was a talk about knitting with JavaScript. And it was followed by a talk on live musical performances with JavaScript, followed by a talk on empathy. And then there was someone showing his pet robot driven by JavaScript. And the whole thing ended up with a live musical performance with a JavaScript themed band. So I really love the community for being host to so much creativity that you sometimes even forget the whole toxic side that the whole industry has. However, the language, well, it kind of feels awkward and it's kind of backwards, and this week is so fucking amazing. This is, so as I said, like, it feels you had to do things with hacks or some things couldn't even be done. So to quote my favorite band, JavaScript, what are you? What is love? JavaScript, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Sorry, I'm a kid from the 90s, and I had to do that. So JavaScript runs nearly everywhere without even installing the Ask toolbar. And due to the web's popularity and the mobile web and Node.js, the language evolved quite a lot. So this talk is actually about years 2015. And this is going to be a very technical talk, so I put like random cat pictures of my cats into some slides, not all of them. You might be wondering, why is it years 2015 and not year 6, because ES5 hasn't been out that long? Well, the thing is, it just simply was renamed to ES 2015. And so basically, when people talk about year 6, they mean year 6, years 2015. And same goes for year 7 and years 2016, and don't be irritated by that. It's not like a strict contract. So in fact, some features of year 7 are already in browsers. Some of year 6 features are not in browsers right now. And yeah, this is basically how it is. And just also, if you hear about ES Next or Harmony or whatever, this is, it's the same thing, more or less. So let's start. Strings in ES5, well, I won't have that in my home. So strings in ES5 are kind of annoying. You can't have multiple lines, and like having variables in the string is super annoying to have. This is tedious, and I'm quite happy that ES 2015 has a fix for that called template equals. This is basically this, and it makes us allows us to have multiple line strings with variables with just backticks. And everyone is like coding in different languages, even PHP is like, well done. But the thing is, it's not innovative, but it's super helpful, and it just makes things easier. There's one little thing I saw, and I was like writing this, there was like debugging this, and there's an error. Can you spot it? Probably not. It's on line 8. Line 8 is basically this line, and there's nothing wrong. There's really nothing wrong with this line. I was basically cursing at my screen, it's like, the engine must be wrong. I know JavaScript better than you. And like, turns out the offending line is actually this. I was just simply missing a closing backtick. So if you have an editor, please make sure that it actually is able to syntax highlight the whole thing, because that would take me like seconds, usually. But if this saves you a little time, then I'm quite happy. So how's support for templates and browsers? And I'm glad you ask. Because there's Kangax. And Kangax is like this freaking amazing guy with his team who puts out these compatibility tables that you can't see in the background, but this is the URL for ES5, ES6, ES7. And basically, you have to look up if a browser supports something, just look it up there. It's really, really great. So for process support right now for template errors, E11, no, Edge actually has it. There's only one thing missing, is if you pass an object to a template error and it has toString defined, according to the spec it should call toString, it doesn't in Edge 12. That's probably going to be fixed very soon. Chrome, Firefox supported, iOS since version 9, save for Safari, Node since 4. Android stock browser doesn't support any of ES 15. So if you basically stuck on Android, you have to either use mobile Firefox or Chrome, or if you into a web view with PhoneGap, look into Crosswalk, which you use with great success at ES. Since Bruce is here, Opera is basically the same with Chrome. Big fucking surprise. It actually is quite good with ES 15 support. If you've seen the fetch before, it's not actually part of ES 15, it lives in its own standard. But it's incredibly useful as a like alternative to XML HTTP request, which we kind of love and hate at the same time. It's supported by Chrome and Firefox and easy to pull to folders. As always, npm got covered for Node. Parameters is also a super exciting topic. It's a thing that also got like an overhaul with ES 2015. So this is how we do parameters in ES 5, if you want to have default parameters. This is the kind of defensive variant of this whole thing. Most of the time you could get away with this. But it still doesn't reveal the intention. You have no idea of default parameters and what it says with just looking at the method definition. So the simple fix for that is default parameters, which you basically just can say in the method signature, my default parameter for level is info. Again, nothing groundbreaking, but it just makes the code more clear. Unfortunately, support isn't that good. Firefox is the only one who supports it partially. For Edge, it sits behind the flag. And Chrome and Node don't both have it. Same goes for Safari. It's reported to be supported by Safari Fit nightly, but I couldn't recreate it. But it could mean that it's in the next major version of Safari, whenever that is out. There's also more parameter tricks. You might remember like, the threaded arguments object that we have. And I had a need of, I needed to get a preference key from either a cache or a database, and this is how I did it, with like random arguments, or multiple arguments. And the thing is, like, there's no notion of support for this in a method function, and method signature. So with a feature called REST parameters, you simply say dot 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 storages, and you have a notion of that you can have multiple storages as arguments. And the cool thing is you also don't have to deal with the arguments object anymore. Browser support is a bit sparse. Edge 12 has it, E11 doesn't have it. Firefox and has it really good, and it sits behind a flag in Chrome, and it's going to be released in two versions out, so version 48 should have it. So Node catches up quite good with Chrome these days, so it's probably going to be there as well. Safari doesn't have it. And the three dots that you see, that you saw, also called as spread operator, which is quite useful on its own. We can use it to concatenate areas in the middle, but this is like not that exciting, but probably if you looked into Redux, you've seen this. The reducer function down there with dot 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 state. And the cool thing about this is it doesn't mutate the data. It creates a new object with amending basically data from state and then what I add to it. Also, I have to hack run. That's what the code says. So if you've seen the time-traveling debugging that was made possible by this in Redux DevTools, this is quite amazing, and you will be convinced of it as well. And you might remember this sort of, I should ditch a jQuery because it's so big that I don't need it, so you query selected all the way through DOM, only to realize that node lists aren't exactly arrays. There's a neat little fix with spec queries like this. You could argue that this is kind of feels magic, but on the other hand, every prototype slice call also feels pretty magic, so this is at least more readable in my opinion. Browser support is somewhat decent. E11 is out. Edge 12, Safari 9 support important parts of it, while Firefox and Chrome support it completely. So let's talk about a word that I can't pronounce every angle. ES 2015 introduces two new keywords. One of them is const, which is, as the name gives away, it's there to define a constant. So you might take a guess what the output of this would be. It's these semicolons. So it doesn't throw an error, it simply doesn't allow to reassign the variable. According to the spec, it should actually throw an error, and in some environments it actually does right now. But it doesn't. By the way, if you don't know these two bands, you should totally check them out. They're the best bands out there. If you've been to JS.conf.eu or reject.js, really, really great. Anyway, wanna guess what output of this would be? This is basically the same thing, just wrapped in a function. So semicolons, sorry, for Chrome it's these semicolons, so just works as before. For Safari it's like, whatever. No, doesn't mean that Safari is the URE, I will come to that later, but it's kind of fun to see that. Firefox is different. Firefox actually calls out this super amazing and readable error message. So well done, Firefox team. It only does it when it's in the block scope, though. I will explain what it is in a second. However, like even it says const, it doesn't make the variable immutable. Just make sure that you don't reassign the variable. So this will still work without a problem. So if you need to make a member of an object immutable, you have to use object define property from ES5. Just as a side note. as for now, I really love const as to make my intent obvious when declaring a variable, because most of the time it doesn't have to be reassigned. And if you do that, it's like a good source of bugs. And I would go as far as use basically, whenever I declare a variable, I always declare this const end. Just because it makes things easier, and once the process works better, it makes things easier to debug as well. So, next to const, there's another keyword, but let's look into how WAR works. So, the WAR keyword basically allows you to reassign the variable as you wish, and in the end, it's just there, no matter where you did it, and as long as you define the current function of global namespace. Let is a bit different. So if you have let, it's basically within the if block, it says there's a loops, and within the outer if block, it says these semicolons. This is what we call block scope. Which basically means that the scope of a declared variable is also the closest block. Some people also call it bracket scope because it's like the closest bracket. So I kind of highlighted here, this is bold curly braces, this is where the block is, and so that is only available within this block, which is nice. The other thing is, with WAR, this would look out undefined, but let const actually prints us a useful error message. Foo is actually the best band in the world, whatever. This feature has a total metal name called temporal dead zone. Doesn't mean that constant let are not cloistered, because they are. It simply means it throws an error if the engine throws an error if you access the variable before it is initialized, which is quite useful in debugging. So the process support is surprisingly really good. The fun thing is it's actually really good supported in E11. It's actually the browser that has the best support for. So Edge naturally follows. Chrome supports it in strict mode, not in non-strict mode, which is wrong, but code should be in strict mode anyway. Firefox only supports it if you include your script with script type application / JavaScript semicolon version equals 1.7 or 1.8, whatever. Safari is kind of, this doesn't care. Node supports it since 4.0. Okay, so the next feature I'm going to represent is something super highly controversial, and many considered harmful articles have been written about it. It's called classes. And while some people still argue if it's like prototypal or prototypical, it's just like people just get this new keyword, which is this. It's like the way you define a class in ES 2015. Not too special, but easy to read and better than before. This is how you define a method. As you can see, you can leave the function keyword off. I'm actually not too sure about this shape for beginners because it's not too explicit, but it's there. And members of a class, properties of a class, this is how you define it. As I said, not that surprising. The first kind of useful feature is getters and setters if you want to put in some Java into your JavaScript. This example is actually a fine example why you shouldn't use getters and setters because it's so simple. It's just like you have multiple methods, just doing simple set this. Don't use it, just use logger.level for this. But the first real useful feature is this constructor. You could have constructors in ES5 as well, but this is just explicit, and that's why I like it. There's also static methods that you kind of know from the date object or date.now maskman. But like, I think the nicest feature of classes is these new two keywords, which is super and extends, which just basically allows you to, as you would expect, to inherit from another class and also call super methods. The cool thing is you don't have to name your superclass explicitly in your constructor, and you can just call super. And as I said, some people like to complain about it, but then again, people like to complain. So news of 11. And even yesterday, like during the speaker's dinner, that was the first question I got asked. What's your stance on ESPL 2015 classes? And like, my stance is just use them. It makes a pattern that actually that is used right now, more readable and more accessible. And which is to bring in my book, because readable code is a win. And you can still mess with the prototype if you wish, and you can even mix and match. And you don't have to use it if you don't want to, so just use it. So the main critique against classes is what I get is usually that can lead to bad design, and there's some truth in that. So I made some random rules that I try to follow when I work with classes. The first one is whenever you can, use functions and simple objects, because most often you don't need like the full class with its state and everything and the constructor. So if you can do that with a few pure functions, do it with a function. Whenever you think inheritance, think a little harder. Often there's a better solution and favor composition over inheritance. And if you use inheritance, then try to go not full inception. Like keep it on like one level deep if you can. Because like tracking super calls through a class hierarchy is the reason why I don't have that much hair anymore. It's no fun. So other than that, please go ahead and use them. It's in my opinion a huge improvement over the old way. And it's also, I think, easier to get for beginners. Process support is okay-ish. Works in H13, Chrome, both supported completely if your code is in strict mode, which is, as I said, not correct, but most people should use strict mode anyway. There's no sign for support in Firefox, I don't know why, but it's probably coming soon. And it's surprisingly well supported in Safari 9. So this was a lot of info already, and quite technical, and not that many cats. But anyway, there's more. Like, let's see, we have this little function which gives me statistics of what went into making this talk. And we're kind of not interested in how many hours I waited on Twitter and how many cats I had on the keyboard, a lot. But I'm kind of interested in how many copies I consumed and how many Remy gifs are in this talk. And so, in ES5, this is not too bad, but it leaves us with a variable that we actually don't need. In ES2015, there's something called destructuring. Destructuring looks like this. And by using destructuring, you can just use this in here for like the various copies that Remy gives used, which is the only thing you care about. Actually, you don't care, only care about the Remy gives used. So this is nice. You can also get nested properties, which is, I would say, not that readable. So I would limit it to simple structures. But sometimes you have like API responses from third parties, and it's like super nested, then you could probably use that. Destructuring also works for arrays, and you can even skip items. I'm kind of like have a new feature there as well. ES2015 also has Unicode support. That means emojis everywhere. There's like a little difference. If you destructure from an array, you have to use the square brackets, and for objects, you can use the curly braces. Destructuring also allows for two really great use cases. Just think about a function that parses a string, for example, in URL, or like this super foolproof parser here, which only works in Germany. this is like the cool thing about it. You don't need to keep track of like random variables, and immediate variables. You can just use day, months, year after that. And I wanted to put on a regex here with like proper URL parsing, because then everyone's like reading regex and trying to understand it. But I think you get it. The other thing that I actually quite like more is this. So you've probably seen this somewhere in the code. There's a library which has a modal. Whenever you think modal, please don't. But that's a different thing. But you see this function, and you probably can't tell what the three parameters are. I mean, the first two are kind of obvious. The last one, the magic Boolean parameter, I have no idea what this is. So without looking at a function definition, it's not possible to see what this does. With ES2015 syntax, this becomes a bit nicer. So it becomes a bit nicer with ES2015 syntax. Arguably, the invocation is a bit more verbose, but other than way more explicit. And I mean, this is also a thing you totally can do with ES5 and options object, but you have a lot of boilerplate code in there, like checking if the variable is there, if it's undefined, if it's required, and all this. In ES2015, this is just this. So there's no more boilerplate. And you can even have default parameters as before. which is it's a feature that other languages known as main parameters, and I'm a big fan of them. And like, unfortunately, the cross support is not that good. Current Safari supports it really good. That also means iOS 9. Most parts of are supported by Firefox. Chrome and Node don't have it. It's behind a flag in Edge 13. Objects also learn a few tricks. And I quickly will show you the things that I kind of find the most useful ones. First one is probably shorthand. Actually, the only line is the last line. I got the laser. There's no cat in the audience. This basically allows us, if there's a variable with the same name, we can just use set item without doing the full thing. But this in itself is not that useful, but when you combine that with name parameters, you can use this. So you don't have to do like with equals with, you can just use with there, which is nice. Another thing that's in there that a friend of mine actually drew about a few days ago is computed property names, which allows you to have property names to be like made up on spot. That's also a feature you could use with temporary variables or object-defined property in ES5, but this makes it a bit faster. But like a word of warning, don't use it too much. I mean, in this case, it's kind of good, but usually clear method names win. And as you've seen this with tasks before, but this is how you can define a method on an object. You can also combine this whole thing. So you can have like a method defined like that way with a dynamic with a computed property name. And you can also haggle with a prototype. Which is, if you're following along JavaScript for a longer time, yes, underscore, underscore, proto, underscore, underscore, spec, and in spec. Yeah. Let's talk about another core feature, functions. These are like some super amazing human beings, and I want to have to hook the one whose name starts with J. So I could write it as a simple one function, but there's so much boilerplate going on. So I can use in ES5, ES 2015, I can use arrow functions. And with arrow functions, I can actually write like this, which is nice. You might be wondering, where's my return? And there's an implicit return because it's only one expression. And because you don't use curly braces, and if you don't use curly braces, you only have one expression. The operator is called fat arrow. And if you want to return an object, you have to wrap the whole thing in curly braces again. And if you need more than one expression, you must use curly braces in an explicit return like this. So you can have more than one argument, and if you need more than one expression, as I said, you need to create a full function body as before, and you need to explicitly return. The cool thing about the fat arrow is that it binds to lexicals, so this is possible. Final word on arrow functions, I think they're really good for one-liners. As soon as this function gets like two lines or something, or is reusable, please don't use that. Just make it like an old school name pattern function, because that's just easier. So, process support for that is quite okay-ish. Chrome, Firefox, and Edge all support everything shown. Node since 4.0. Safari is lagging. Apparently, it's also in WebKit 90, but I couldn't reproduce it. There must be a magic thing I have to do to enable it, because everything that was supported to work in WebKit 90 didn't work in my machine. But whatever. If you've been doing Node, the following isn't too exciting for you, but it's kind of nice to have it in the browser foundry as modules. And they kind of look similar. So this is your typical Node module. And the same thing in ES2015 would be this. So the only difference is that instead of module.exports equals whatever, you do export default. CommonJS also allows for named exports, which is basically just tag random things to the export object and gets exported. ES2015 has the same thing. Just export var, then the name of the var, and then whatever you want to export. There's actually, there's syntax error in there. Don't take a photo, really. To fix that. Okay, importing module is also pretty easy. Just import underscore from Node-ish, and then Node-ish is available as underscore later on. And you can also pick methods that you want to import. In this case, plug and reject. I'm quite fan of using it this way because it makes it super obvious which functions that you require and you depend on. And while import statements have to be at top level, it's kind of best practice to always have them on top of the file, so you can open up the file and see immediately what you're requiring. And while modules in the spec, module loaders are marked as implementation specific, so they might end up somewhere and you need a different spec, and so it's not in there yet, so you need system.js or something like that to get that working. ES 2015 also has nice little additions. For example, array.find, which is defined in an array, and it's also nothing like super bad or super innovative, but it's there now, and it's just nice, and I don't need Lodash Pad anymore. And remember that REST previous example I saw you saw from before, this one? And ES 2015, this could be this one. Just by using arrow functions and arrow.find. Strings also learned a new thing apart from Unicode, which is start with includes end split, which is just nice. It's also nothing you couldn't do before, but it's explicit and therefore it wins. And there's one function that I basically import for every project that I use, which is object merging. And finally, there's object assigned, which does object merging recursively in the spec, which means that Remy is excited. Okay. I don't know. So this is just really great. Also, the browsers finally can optimize for that. There's so much more on this in ES 2015, and this is just like this is not even a complete list, but just to give you some view of what's in there. Promises is also a really good thing, and there's so much in there. Just have a look. But as you've kind of seen when I showed you the process support, there's one thing that we kind of used to as web devs: inconsistency. So. Should I use ES 2015 today? Well, it has our current year in the name, you should use it. But seriously, just don't use it if you just don't use ES 2015 to use ES 2015. If the ES 5 way is more readable, please use ES 5. That's totally fine. You don't have to be one of the good ones. But I think some of the solutions I showed actually make the code more readable. And I think clarity wins over cleverness all the time. So if you can, use it, but it has to make sense. As I said, like from my experience, I've been doing this for 6-ish months now. It works pretty well. We also use it in production at eHealth for public health systems. So this is kind of critical. It's not like I'm selling user data. It's like critical appliances, and it works really good for us. I won't look back. And we're like constantly writing new projects exclusively in ES 2015. But how can I use it? I mean, you've seen it, like this browser supports that, and this browser supports that. I think if you know what browser you exactly know what browser you're supporting, then it's kind of easy, just pick what you want and fully fill what's fully fillable. We did it at ES with great success because for one project we actually exactly knew which browser we are using. For everyone else, I would say just use a transpiler. When I say transpiler, I say Babel. Babel has been only around for 1 year, but it's an amazing project. It just recently released version 6.0, so that's how fast it's moving. And it's not the very first ES 2015 compiler, but it's really, really great. It's also the most popular one, I would say. You can easily install it with npm, and then it's available to you as a command line tool. And integrations with just about every task runner, be it Gulp, Grunt, or whatever you fancy, there's component in there. The cool thing about it is it's pretty customizable. And also well documented. So the website includes a REPL, a live REPL that you can use. And there's also a learn ES 2015 section where you basically guide through some features as well. And the code that it produces is actually kind of human readable. So it's most of the time it's the code that you write by hand in ES 5 to get something. And thanks to the configuration, you can actually say, I don't want this transform and this transform, you just can transform what you want. So it's a really great project that you use in ES and other projects. Babel is also pretty close to spec, and force warnings and errors for browsers don't right now, and for some even during compile time. And it also learns about all the browser inconsistencies that you have, so you get somehow predictable behavior in JavaScript. So let's quickly talk about debugging. Debugging is the same story as with CoffeeScript, TypeScript, or whatever transpiler language you use, so it's good. It's not perfect, but it's good. There are source maps, and with mono browsers it's somewhat doable. The only thing is that you don't get is in-memory replacement, so if you like to work in DevTools and write your code in DevTools, that doesn't work too well. I know that from Remy, actually, because he was testing it. So you will lose a bit of that comfort, but apart from that, it's actually quite doable. And as I mentioned, when I explained what modules you need, some of the bundles you want, and there's Webpack for this. There are others as well, but Webpack is the thing that I have the most experience with. It works really great, but if you fancy JSPM or ProtoRefine, you can use that as well. Webpack has a wonderful feature called Webpack Dev Server, which makes the whole compilation and reload thing a total breeze. It even supports hot code reload. And the best thing is, if you reload too early, the load will block until the build is finished. So you will never see like an old build again and be like, where are my changes? So this is just great. We should also set up a linter. JSINT has a flag called ESNext, but I don't use JSINT, so I have no idea how well it works. At ES Africa, we declared an end to the semicolon war and just used standard, which also supports ES 2015 really, really good. And ESLint has a plugin called Babel ESLint for Babel stuff, but it's also in itself compatible with ES 2015. Talking about editors, I'm using Atom for daily development, which actually has Babel in its core right now, so you can actually write ES 2015 code for your Atom modules. It's also quite capable of editing code really good, which helps. I mean, the template little thing that I shown before, I would immediately spot it with proper highlighting. And so if you can, make sure that you support it, as your editor supports it as well. And it's also quite good to have like a linter set up to work with the editor, so you spot like things like undefined variables and stuff like that. Styguards. As I said, like for ES Africa, we use standard, which just takes care for us, takes care of the whole thing for us, and it has an opinion, so we don't need to have an opinion, which is quite nice in the team. But if you want, there's also the Airbnb style guide, which features some ES 2015 guidelines as well. One last thing about ES 2015, because I saw it on Twitter recently, the performance is somewhat not really good. It's not really, really bad, but it's like compared to methods that have been there before, it's not optimal yet, but it's just the nature of the freshness of the whole thing. JS engines learn a lot about optimizing ES 3 and ES 5, and it will eventually get there. So you want to learn ES 2015. First off, if you don't understand this thing, it's like that happens to me as well. I've been in this industry for more than a decade, and I was still looking at something. It's like, what is this? So don't be done by that. Just ask. I'm totally fine with like you can ping me, you can ping based on other people than me. Also, don't be confused by some very dogmatic blog posts. People are just like that, and this thing code is not religion. It's just like a collection of semicolons and phrases. So just, you know, don't be confused by that. So what do you can learn? Like, JSPin actually supports ES 2015 really, really well. It's a bit hidden. And I tried to like write a readme for Remy with a GIF. You basically have to change the JavaScript file type to ES 6 Babel, but it works really, really well. And the cool thing about JSPin is that you can just share the link and show it to your coworkers and friends and get help. There's also other resources, so there's someone called Nicolas from Argentina, who goes by Olifu, and he, like, this is an amazing resource. He published this blog post called ES 2015 in 350 bullet points, and it basically features everything for ES 2015 in 350 bullet points. And it has many in-depth articles and all that stuff. It's really, really good. So Nicolas, if you see the video later on, you rock. Ryan, another local, Berlin local, also author of Eloquent JavaScript, an excellent book on JavaScript as well, recently gave a workshop on ES 2015 at Forcing Values in Warsaw. The whole material is online. And there is katas, like short exercises you can take to deepen your understanding of something. And the Romney named ES 6 katas has some exercises for ES 2015 as well. And there's this really massive ebook from Dr. Axel Rothmeier on ES 2015 called Exploring ES 6. So you kind of see like people use ES 6 and ES 2015 like interchangeable, so it doesn't matter. So last thing, the future. Like this being November and being really close by the end of the year, I think we should get excited for next year. And that means ES 2016 or ES 7. And I just want to highlight one thing that, in my opinion, is the most important addition to the spec in ES 7, and also probably to actually use ES 6 in the first place. So at ES, I had this task to get remote resources from an API. And for each of these resources, I had to get the available language codes, and then I had to download all the languages. In a fucking cron task. that hurt. So in ES 5, you don't have to read the code. It's just like, it's the pyramid of doom right there, and it's kind of messy, and debugging this isn't much fun, and it's also not quite obvious what it does. And of course, you could name functions a little bit, and it's a bit more readable, but then again, you still have the debugging and the error handling, so it's not that nice. mid year's life and promises this is getting better. It's still somewhat dependent on Boom, but it's there. Also, Nolan Lawson of PouchDB, which is, by the way, an amazing project, wrote a blog post called Promises We Have a Problem, or We Have a Problem with Promises, which is basically a must read if you deal with promises. But there's this thing coming in years 2016, which is called Asyncrate. And this makes the whole thing way more readable. And I mean, there's still like a tiny pyramid of them, but it's handleable. And the cool thing about it is it's basically just makes the code like in a straight line, and you don't have to look at callbacks and when it's not called and all that thing. And the cool thing is you can actually use try and catch like a normal JavaScript beam, which is super, super nice. So the future of JavaScript looks really bright and has some exciting features. And I can't wait to see proto support for browser windows and code that's more readable in the future. So I love JavaScript again. Thank you for listening to me raving to ES5, and I hope it wasn't too German dry. It definitely wasn't that crappy. Feel free to find me in the breaks, the talks, and the colons. Also, thanks to my balloon crew right here to like proofreading and getting feedback. Also, thanks to Stefan Seid, aka Evil Hacker Dude, on Twitter for proofreading and getting me started initially. Thank you.